From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for March 29th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This, my fellow Americans, is hour one of two. And our goal remains incredibly simple and the same, steady as a rock. That is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers are absolutely brilliant, and the solution to the problems we face. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Do business with the good guys. Brought to you by GiveMeLibertyFund.com when you want a win-win-win situation for patriots. And brought to you by WorldAffairsBrief.com. Commentary on a troubled world in your inbox weekly. Check it out today. All right, folks, without further ado, a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. Is Christie positioning himself to be Trump's running mate? Time will tell. Keep your eye on that ball. Kurt thinks that we ought to have somebody like a Ben Carson, and boy, do I agree. Professor, turns out, holds a former Marine's fussy baby during class. We thought it was a pretty good story. A caller came in and argued and said, hey, get that baby out of class. Don't need that. The compassionate professor said he'd do it again. Taking care of others in the time of need, even if it's not a big time of need, is a good thing. And believe it or not, then the professor said that's God's purpose, to take care of one another. Pretty good stuff, I think. Hour two of the broadcast. Paul Ryan faces primary challenge from a wealthy businessman that felt betrayed by the speaker. Every one of us has been betrayed by the speaker, in my humble opinion. We talked about Webb Hubble. No comment on fathering Chelsea Clinton. Bill Clinton snorted cocaine off my table, Sally Miller, Bill's former lover, said. All right. Is there truly a Ted Cruz sex scandal? Ted wants you to believe it's all bogus. But the National Enquirer is accusing Ted Cruz of having recent sexual affairs with five women, including Katrina Pearson, Sarah Flores, and what's this other girl's name here? Amanda Carpenter, along with two other unnamed women at this time. Ted Cruz sex scandal erupts, deny. And at the center of the scandal is the National Enquirer report alleging that Cruz had five mistresses. Three out of five of the women have already been identified online, and they're political operatives. Michael Savage threatens to dump Trump over the Cruz sex scandal. He says, I don't like this kind of stuff, this smear stuff. But then Trump went on Savage yesterday. Did they work it all out? Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on the ball for you. Do you believe that there really is a sex scandal? I believe people are innocent until proven guilty. However, the National Enquirer has done this many times, and they've been right. So beware, folks. Widower shocked when late wife leaves $127,000 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Pretty interesting. The husband thought she only had about 30 grand saved, but it turns out she had a whole lot more. Wow. He was pleased and said his wife would be delighted. Make-A-Wish said they've never had a bigger donation. Pranksters place Donald Trump tombstone in New York's Central Park. I don't think it's funny at all, folks. People have been threatening Trump's life. Like or don't like Trump, that's dangerous. Trump details his, quote, America first foreign policy, and he gives the details to the New York Times. He believes in torture and everything else. Again, I think Trump's saying a lot of the right things, folks. He really is. But I have big concerns about Donald Trump. Not that I think anybody else is any better, by the way. Just thought I'd brief you on that. That's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. We've only got 1 hour up there on the archives because we had a computer crash again. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with our computers and why. We did get an upgraded machine. That ought to help a ton. Exactly the details, don't know. Hope everything goes well today. and hope we can figure out the problem ASAP. The problem is I've got a day job, and time is kind of a critical component for me as well. So there you have it. We're just doing the best we can. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
The mainstream press is all a chatter.
Yeah.
I wrote the headline, quote, the brain dead plan to hike California's minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2022, Kurt. I submit it's a brain dead plan.
Should go for $100. You know, I mean, just think of the news they could make. Everybody in California making $100 an hour or more. I mean, it would just be another Shangri-La. I mean, just a wonderful place to live. I mean, just think about it. I mean, nobody poor, everybody with money in their pocket. I mean, just wow. I better call old what's his name? Anyway, the crazy governor, and let him know.
Jerry?
You know, I mean, Jerry Brown. I mean,
just get a hold of Jerry. Hey, Jerry, it's Kurt.
If he thinks $15 would be cool, I mean, just imagine how nice $100 would be. You know, I mean, just everybody working at McDonald's, whatever your job is, you're making $100 minimum an hour. I mean, it just, I can't even imagine how life could be better than that, huh, Sam? I mean, just think of it.
What is Shangri-La, Kurt?
Well, it, at least the way I remember it, it's some, well, mythical place.
Yeah, it's like a fictional place.
Spot.
Yeah.
And where Jerry Brown would be right, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know where that fictional place was created in, Kurt?
No, I was just fixing to look it up.
It's the 1933 novel Lost Horizon, my friend. Haven't you read that?
Right.
Come on.
No, it's one more thing I haven't read.
It's like an imaginary utopia, Kurt.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking. Something like that.
I mean, don't you want to just hang out in the utopia? Just
they say
Cali,
it's a fictional place described in the 1933 novel Lost Horizon by British author James Hilton. I wonder if did he start the Hilton Hotels? But anyway, Shangri-La.
Just think Earthly Paradise, California. My friend.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, like Camelot or something like
Well,
that,
it's better than Camelot, man.
Well, okay, you know, I mean, you know.
Except for, I guess it depends on who you are, too, Kurt.
They say the people who live at Shangri-La are almost immortal, living years beyond the normal lifespan and only very slowly aging in appearance. The word also evokes the imagery. Anyway, it just goes on. But anyway, it's a good time. And that's what California would be if they just, I mean, why stop at $15 an hour for their wage? I mean, just move it on up. $100 an hour, and I mean, you will not have a single individual that just wouldn't want to be there in wonderful California.
Well, you Kurt, know? I mean, the weather's perfect for starters.
Yep, right? Yep. You got a great governor like Jerry Brown.
Incredible wages.
Think of all the, giving programs of the government that, you know, basically gets money out of thin air and can just pass it on to everyone. I mean, it's just, well, Shangri-La.
Kurt, do you think they can achieve it? They've been going for this since Cain killed Abel, haven't they, Kurt?
Yeah, and the thing is, Sam, what happens is these darn principles get in the way of this whole Shangri-La deal. And,
principles.
Even guys like California realize that you have to pay the piper and you can't really, they taught us something years ago in economics and it was, a bunch of letters in a row, but each letter stood for there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. And, in the end, basically what that means is if you're going to force somebody to pay $15 an hour, Somebody's going to be losing their jobs and or
oh, come on, Kurt.
But at Carl's least Jr. they'll be more, did they?
Yeah, darn right, buddy. $6 burger man chimed in, bro. You want to know what he said? Whoa. This is Carl now.
All right.
Is there really a Carl?
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
And Shangri-La. Well, Shangri-La Carl and there's a Carl for
Carl
sure.
Jr. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I was supposed to make him wait till after the break if I learned good radio, but I won't. Yeah. I'm just going to tell him.
Oh, okay. Good. Uh-huh.
Carl's Jr. responds to minimum wage hike. We're going to hire robots then.
Yeah,
I'll tell you about
there you
it.
Go.
Liberty Roundtable Live straight from Carl's $6 burgers.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Got an upcoming treat, by the way. Second hour today, we're going to have on Mr. Adam Abel. He is the Freetown movie producer. Freetownthemovie.com if you want to learn more. Mr. Abel also has produced Saints and Soldiers and the movie Forever Strong. We also have another guest who I'm going to surprise you, but it's one of the actors in the Freetown movie.
I bet that first guy is able to make a lot of nice movies.
Yes, he is, my friend.
Yeah.
You got that right. What are we talking about? This movie is about the 1989-1990s Monrovia-Liberian Civil War. It's a powerful story of true faith, survival, and freedom. The question is, are you a Kron? You'll find out. All right, anyway, enough of that, but it's coming up, folks. So, I guess Carl's Jr. is responding to the minimum wage hike, Kurt, and saying, we're just going to hire robots then. It's bogus. And the battle rage is on about those who believe it'll just be like, as you say, Shangri-La?
Shangri-La.
Shangri-La. I want to think of sangria. Yeah. Pretty soon it'll be like Shangri-La. Everybody can have a free Mexican drink. All right. Just Shangri-La. It's all going to be perfect. Yeah. Those who believe that versus those who believe it'll just destroy jobs and destroy society. It's all based on forcing businesses, using the lever of government to force businesses to pay people a certain amount of monies. And again, when the government creates false money, fiat money, it creates inflation. They have no other choice, Kurt, but to force every other element of society tied to currency. And that's the eventual reality of false money, bogus money, dishonest money. And the only answer to resolve that is to go back to honest weights and measures, Kurt. Sound money. Anyway, that's the battle line there, but it's interesting to watch. Kurt jokes and says we ought to make it $100 an hour, because if they could force, I mean, if 15's good, 16's better, isn't it? And then 20's even better than that. And by golly, and you go right on down the list. Carl's Jr. saying we're having none of it. I wonder if they hire robots, though, and they save money, Kurt, if the $6 burger will become the $5 burger.
Well, Sam, you see what will happen in California is because, you know, all those people that are out of work because they raised the minimum wage or the forced wage, they'll have to have more government money coming from the businesses. So then what will happen is see the guy that's out of work gets a check from the government. Then he goes and spends that money at Carl's Jr., paying for the robots. And then Carl's Jr. has to take more of the money that would have gone to the guy that's out of work, that's now going, to buy robots to pay for the guy that's out of work from the state. I mean, you can see where this goes. I mean, it's just
and then pretty soon you got to give the guy out of work a $6 burger, Kurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you're doing with the cash,
everybody deserves a $6
burger. Take from the haves and, well, I mean, if not, I mean, aren't you a feeling individual? Aren't you a loving, caring? I mean, even, Christian principles tell you got to take care of your neighbor.
Yeah, but not by force, Kurt. It's supposed to be a charitable, kind act of love and just general regard for your fellow beings.
I mean, there you go, bringing up that force word. With God, you're just supposed to not bring up those little principles, those little facts. You're just supposed to tell people they have to do those nice things because they've just got to do those. And, no principles included, Sam.
Now, Paul Ryan tells you that he's not interested in the presidency, Kurt. Speaker of the House guy. But you know what they say, Kurt? They say he's really not for 2016, that is.
Oh, no. Why not?
What he's really doing is gunning for 20.
2020?
Yeah, he's gunning for 2020, my friend.
He's got his eyes on that.
Yeah, and he's just going to kind of bow out this time and look like the peacemaker. Because remember, it's a good old boys network, and it's not really his turn, Kurt.
I'm telling you, though, that he's an insider boy. And I think what's going on is he sees he can read the tea leaves, and he sees the troops rallying around somebody that's against him, and he's thinking, man, if they get rid of me, I might as well give it a chance, give it a shot.
Yeah,
right
for the presidency.
Now. Yeah.
And now the other interesting thing is he might be kind of bowing out, not wanting to take on Trump, but he figures if Trump gets elected, he can kind of bring reason back to the office in 2020, too, is kind of the idea. That way they can kind of limit it to 4 years, Now, Donald Trump is getting crazier by the second, Kurt. I guess one of his favorite things is fast food, Kurt. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, you can tell if a guy likes that, then he is not qualified to be president. I mean,
what are you talking about? Bill Clinton would pound cheeseburgers between every liaison he ever had.
Yeah, but they didn't tell anybody about that. You know what I mean?
And Barack pounds cheeseburgers while his wife denies lunch to everybody.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good point.
Barack started out working at 31 Flavors, just selling sugar.
Good point. Anyway, Sandy Fitzgerald's the author, and the headline reads, Trump's tastes turn to fast food meatloaf. Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's Donald no such Trump thing as maybe, fast food meatloaf, Kurt.
No, fast food, comma, meatloaf.
Oh, all right.
So you got both things. Donald
it's like
Trump,
meatloaf Sunday, my friend.
She says, he may be a billionaire, but he's got fast food tastes. Calling foods like Big Macs and Filet-O-Fish sandwiches great stuff. And eating plenty of food from a bag during his campaign swings. I mean, this guy just doesn't fit the mold, Sam. I mean, remember George, the first George Bush we had, you know. He's like going into a grocery store. Wow, look at those scanners, you know. I mean, you can tell the guy's just like, oh, never been there before. And, you know, he's just out of touch. At least this guy, even though he's a billionaire, hey, he knows what a Big Mac is.
And it's not wrong to be a billionaire, Kurt. You can be one of those in America.
No. Well, yeah, but you got to understand, guys like Jerry Brown and others, they want to make you think that if you are some kind of the problem. You know, that's
now,
what
Kurt
the whole
would,
Sanders
would join the Donald
thing.
In one of these fish filet fests, wouldn't you, Kurt?
Well, that's right. You know, I mean, I'm a you know, what happens is I don't typically eat enough fish, at least in my opinion. And I would prefer a little more fish.
Well, then why don't you just tell your wife to make more fish? Come on.
She's not what you'd call a fish lover.
Doesn't matter.
But
her husband
anyway,
likes fish. Just... Come on. Do unto others as
her
you'd
favorite
like them to
kind
do
of fish is called chicken. And yeah, that's her favorite kind.
Well, Donald's a chicken, even though he eats fish. He's chicken to take on Sam Bushman's open letter.
I guess she goes on to say, Trump enjoyed Wendy's food while flying on his custom plane on a campaign swing in Iowa earlier this year. I don't remember the report about that earlier, but anyway. And even ate McDonald's in New Hampshire. That's according to the Washington Post. Now, these are the guys that typically, they can't tell you about, you know, the problems with the Federal Reserve.
Of course not.
They can't tell you how the IRS is just, you know, a mess or whatever. They can't, you know, tell you all these, but, man, they can report on.
But do you think, Kurt, that when they go in there and follow the Donald in, do you think that the reporters get like a quarter pound over cheese and stuff?
I don't know. You know.
Hey, Donald's leaving. Can you make a quarter pounder on the double?
I guess
you want
the
a
Washington
double?
Post.
No, a quarter pounder.
Right. The Washington Post said he'd just as soon skip breakfast, but when he does it, he likes bacon and eggs or cornflakes. Wow, you talk about some in-depth reporting. For dinner, he likes starchy foods like potatoes au gratin. Oh, that's that potatoes mixed with cheese and all that stuff. Then he likes pasta. And when he has a steak, he wants it very well done. Oh, too bad. Cooked so much that it would rock on the plate. Rock on the plate. His longtime Palm Beach butler commented to the New York Times in a story. Well, there's some in-depth
nothing
reporting
like
by
tapping
the big
the butler,
media.
Buddy.
Yeah.
All right, quick pause. We're going to tell you why he likes this fast food stuff in a second. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
House Speaker Paul Ryan has repeatedly said that he does not want to be the GOP presidential nominee in 2016, but indications are rife that he might be considering a run 4 years from now. The Wisconsin congressman used his State of American Politics address to congressional interns to criticize the tenor of this year's Republican presidential primaries and to describe a more elevated vision of, quote, what politics can be and what our country can be. Reacting to the speech, Bloomberg correspondent Steve Dennis wrote that, I think Paul Ryan just launched his 2020 campaign. an unnamed former U.S. official who was involved in the Bush-era CIA rendition program, has told The Guardian of London that the CIA provided photographs of naked and brutalized detainees to foreign partners who operated black sites in which torture was used as an interrogation method. The photos constituted evidence of what one medical and human rights activist called sexual humiliation of detainees. Mahmoud Mohammed Ahmed was arrested in Cairo for the offense of wearing a t-shirt inscribed with an anti-torture slogan. After being detained at a police checkpoint, Ahmed was accused of participating in an unauthorized demonstration commemorating the second anniversary of the revolution that toppled U.S.-supported Egyptian ruler Hosni Mubarak. After detaining Ahmed, police also claimed that he had made a donation on behalf of the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood and was in possession of explosives. Never formally charged with an offense, Ahmed was released on March 24th, following what was described as a very cruel two-year detention. House Speaker Paul Ryan has repeatedly said that he does not want to be the GOP presidential nominee in 2016, but indications are rife that he might be considering a run 4 years from now. The Wisconsin congressman used his State of American Politics address to congressional interns to criticize the tenor of this year's Republican presidential primaries and to describe a more elevated vision of, quote, what politics can be and what our country can be. Reacting to the speech, Bloomberg correspondent Steve Dennis wrote that, I think Paul Ryan just launched his 2020 campaign. General Joe Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, told reporters on March 25th that another significant deployment of U.S. combat troops to Iraq will take place in the coming weeks. Commentator Jason Ditz points out that this will mark the latest in a series of U.S. escalations in Iraq, which have put the U.S. far above the 3,870 soldier limit negotiated with Iraq in the status of forces agreement worked out with the George W. Bush administration and then revised by President Obama. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
The Donald may be a billionaire, ladies and gentlemen, but he got fast food tastes. Calling foods like Big Macs and Filet-O-Fish and such like that great stuff on the campaign trail he's eating out of a bag. You know what this reminds me of, Kurt? Ron Paul used to eat very inexpensively on the road as well. And it'll be interesting to see what these other candidates eat on the road. Not because you really want them eating a bunch of fast food. But, you know, if they go to all kinds of expensive places, Kurt, while they ask us for donations, it's a little bit disingenuous, you might say. And so at least Donald on his own dime is eating inexpensively, Kurt.
Well, that's a great point, Sam. And, you know, in this in-depth story that cites the New York Times and the Washington Post, and they're, wow, they're way just amazing reporting where they talk about eggs and bacon and cornflakes and, I mean, things you just got to know about. Anyway, they say, and aside from fast food, there's another meal that Trump loves beyond most others. Yeah, this is what the Post, the Washington Post, reported. Meatloaf, yeah. The dish, based on a family recipe, even appears on his Mar-a-Lago menu. And his sister, federal judge Marianne Trump Barry, makes it for his birthday. Whoa, I'll tell you what, this is in-depth stuff. When it comes to snack foods, Trump said Oreo cookies are the craziest thing he has eaten on the road, and he enjoys See's candies or cherry vanilla ice cream. He drinks Diet Coke with his meals, as he does not drink alcohol. Even though his name is on a wine label through a winery owned and operated by his son Eric, one reason he likes fast food so much, Trump told CNN, is because the restaurants are clean. He has a well-known aversion to germs and shaking hands, and said that fast food restaurants are clean because one bad hamburger and you can destroy McDonald's. Yeah. The final paragraph says he does, though, have a healthy appetite. and his daughter Ivanka is not happy about her dad's eating habits, telling Barbara Walters in an interview that I bet Barbara Walters never did an interview about, you know, the Federal Reserve and how it was, you know, crazy set up 23rd of December 1913, but she's got time for this. In an interview that she wants him to eat more healthy foods and more slowly, but it's the only speed he knows.
Well, then the Donald can just hang out with Donald Michelle Obama.
I was thinking you and Donald are a little bit the same on
that. Not even close.
Only speed that you know is powerful fast.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. You know.
Kurt doesn't even know. Ladies and gentlemen, I slow down for things that are important.
Well, I know, but your slow speed is like my multi-fast.
I wasn't even in a hurry at my children's weddings, for example. I was just chilling. I was all good. All right. Anyway,
I'll admit that you were slow. You were on slower gear than normal. But like I'm saying, is you know, it's like a racehorse that slows down compared to an old, you know, just a worn out, you know, mare or something.
There's
like
hope
that.
For you, you're though, just, Kurt. All you gotta do is get speed up a little bit.
Speed up. Yeah, that's right.
Heck yeah. My son doesn't understand speed either. He's like on one speed slow all the time, and I'm like, son, let's get after it.
Yeah, yeah.
Dad, there's no reason for a hurry.
Good point.
He says, I'm going fast enough. And there's no talking him into going faster either. I think it's one of those challenges God gives me. But anyway, I'm just teasing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Scott Walker's in the news. He's got hard-hitting news too, Kurt.
Well, yeah, you know, he's basically telling everybody that he's going to endorse for president this week. Everybody's waited with bated breath, and I guess these are some of the things he had to say about it. Kathy Burke's reporting on it, but bottom line is he says, I'll decide in the next few days and announce at the end of the week. It's going to be a tight race. It's boiled down to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. He said supporters of Kasich could be key, he explained. I think for a number of those voters, they'll say, well, if their vote is not going to get him to be the winner come the convention, where do they want to cast? And my guess is that if a fair number of them break off, it might actually help Cruz get over the hump, he said. It's going to come down to the wire, he added. So what's your guess, Sam, on and this was, by the way, on an interview he gave on AM 970 in New York, some show called The Cat's Round Table. What
Wait
do you think
the
he's going to do?
The Cat's Round Table versus Liberty Round Table?
Yeah.
All right. That's interesting. I'd rather be on Liberty Round Table, for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that he's going to be kind of forced to go for the Cruz-ster, Kurt, unless he makes some deal with the Trump campaign to be on the campaign staff like Christie and Carson and some of those guys. It'll be really hard for him to come out for Trump.
Well, it's a
unless
good point.
Your career is really on the skids, Kurt, you're not going for Trump.
That's
but if
right.
your career's on the skids, you will, because it's a hope that, man, if he makes it at least, you know, you've been on the right side of whatever. But I'm telling you, Scott Walker's not going to go for Trump, I don't think.
Yeah, you're figuring for sure he's in there for Cruz.
Well, he might bust out and do a Kasich thing, though, to keep Kasich alive.
You think so?
Well, they're trying to create enough firebrand to keep the delegates away from Trump, and however they can do it, they'll do it. And so that's why Kasich is staying there, believe it or not. It makes it harder for Trump.
Yes.
So I don't really know, but that's, again, we don't have any inside information here, Kurt. We don't work for the insiders, so I'm just guessing like everybody else. I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
All right. Anyway, he'll endorse for president by the end of the week. Maybe we need to start having some racists endorse Trump or something, Kurt.
Well, that would be, at least everybody would really dig that, I'm sure. Michael who?
Hayden.
I don't even know who he is, but there's a related story, Sam, that just kind of goes right with this. And by the way, April 5th is the primary for the Badger State. Now, you ask what the Badger State is. That's Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen, and that's where
they have the Cats Round Table
Walker's
from.
Well, no, the Cats Round Table is in New York. But
is that a bunch of women, Kurt, on the Cats Round Table?
Apparently, it's just some guy with the last name Katzman.
Oh, I was thinking of a bunch of women like that would like the Jerry Springer cat fight kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like reality TV show, the Cats Roundtable.
Anyway, there's an AP news piece that I'm just sending you now where it basically talks about how Trump basically, he went on the radio talk shows in Wisconsin, and the problem was he went on the guys who are not really for him, you know. In fact, they've already come out and said they're, you know, against him and stuff.
Wait a minute. You know, Trump's son came on with us, Kurt, and I was never really for him.
Well, I know.
But I wasn't against him either.
But the bottom line is, at least the headline from the AP is something like Trump talk radio, you know, he's basically saying that tries to win Wisconsin without backing of radio hosts. In other words, they're kind of saying, I think the AP is kind of saying that, hey, you know, that radio has a role. And they seem to, listen to those talk hosts, Sam? And
I thought those talk hosts didn't really matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, when you listen to the big boys like the New York Times guys, then that's just a waste of time, you know, those talk radio guys, you know.
I guess.
But I don't think that's the way it is, you know.
All right. Well, the ex-CIA director, Michael Hayden's in the news, Kurt.
Oh, wait a minute. I know. That's that guy, that was...
Yeah, he's Michael Hayden.
He's a little ticked off about the whole waterboarding thing, right?
Well, that's the plan. That's what they say. I don't really believe that, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's the how plan. Do you get to be the CIA chief without...
Well, I mean, look, the CIA was waterboarding, right?
About that. Well, yeah.
And he was around, and, right? But he's, like, way off now, it, you know?
He says, he says that, hey, you know, Trump's idea of, getting all enthusiastic about using this is just a bad deal. I mean, it's made waterboarding even worse than it really was. He says it's kind of illegal under U.S. law, and, of course, the CIA follows U.S. law.
Then why do they do it on his watch?
Well, I mean, I'm sure the law came into effect after, you know. I mean, Sam, I mean, and the CIA always checks on all the laws and everything that Congress tells them and, you know, that kind of stuff before they do anything. I mean, there's no black ops or, you know, money that they print up themselves that just kind of goes and does stuff, you know. I mean, that's not the way the CIA runs things, you know, Sam.
How dare Trump try to win
without
backing of the insiders? Are these talk show hosts insiders, Kurt?
Well, they backed Walker before, and they say...
Yeah, but Walker's out. What if Walker backs Trump?
That's...
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787... The nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers.
In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
So, seen any good movies lately?
No, not really.
Why do you say it like that?
It's just that those movie trailers are so deceptive. You know, like, I'll see a commercial for something that looks like a really fun romantic comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I go to the theater, and, well, that's $7.50 I'll never see again.
Disappointed?
Disgusted is a better word. Hey, I did finally find a way to know a movie's content before I go see it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's this website, PluggedInMag.com. Hmm. Lets me choose the movies I want to see intelligently. Tells me what's good about a movie, what's bad. Not only that, but it does the same thing with music and TV shows. What's wrong?
Well, we just walked out of a movie last week. Makes me wish I'd checked it out first. Plugged In, huh?
PluggedInMag.com. Make sure you get the address right.
Visit PluggedInMag.com for current movie, music, and television reviews. PluggedInMag.com, helping you navigate through the maze of popular culture.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, imagine Donald Trump thinking he can get support for his campaign in Wisconsin without the backing of some talk show hosts. But looks like Scott Walker, I'll endorse for president at the end of the week. I don't know if he's going for Trump or not, but there's a showdown in Wisconsin happening. We'll keep an eye on that ball for you while ex-CIA director Michael Hayden, he's talking about Trump speaking of waterboarding with enthusiasm, as if somehow the former CIA chief in bed with George Bush and crew weren't torturing on their own. There's also allegations of more and more sex scandals that have been uncovered relating to that, sex torture scandals, Kurt. So that might heat up as we approach November as well. We'll keep an eye on that ball. Now, Cruz is backing away from his pledge to support the GOP frontrunner, that's Donald Trump, if he becomes the nominee. Ted already refused to say if he would support whoever the standard bearer is, although he promised he would before. Now all of them who made promises are backing away. And what I find disingenuous about this, Kurt, I don't really think they should have pledged to back anybody in the first place. I'll back people individually, and I'll reject people individually based on what I believe about them, their character, their understanding of the Constitution, their knowledge, their history of applying the supreme law of the land, and their obedience or dedication to their oath of office, etc., their fidelity thereto, their personal character, whether they're moral or not. Okay, I'll use those things. I won't just reject or back somebody based on, quote, a partisan mandate to do so in the good old boys network. They should have never done it in the first place. But my problem is, once you promise that you will back somebody, you need to stick with that, Kurt. And I got a problem with all these people forcing Donald Trump to say he'll back them if he loses, which he did. But then now that he's winning, they're kind of going to renege on the same. Curtis, just dishonest.
Wait, you're saying there's dishonesty in the, party system?
Well, from Ted, yeah. Ted was supposed to be the outsider honest guy to bring them all to task, Kurt.
Well, yeah, but, you know, see, they always use the party program, and that was used on Trump at first to say, hey, you got to promise you won't run third party, you know. And so then they got him to promise, and then, you know, everybody else say they can kind of, you know, pull back if, you know, I mean, it was just their way of saying, hey, we'll make sure that Trump doesn't do a third party deal. And of course he won't win, so we don't have to worry about that, but at least we'll eliminate the third party threat. It just highlights the whole problem with the party system.
Doesn't yeah, it didn't go too well for him, did it?
No.
But Kurt, I wouldn't recommend we do this, but it's tempting.
Yes.
And that is this unconstitutional taser. I wouldn't tase anybody. It's against my views. I'm a peaceful, follow the Prince of Peace kind of guy, so I wouldn't tase people unless my life was threatened or something like that. But Right. Constitutional taser. Overuse may lead to lawsuits, says the headline from from Liberty News Daily.
Ooh, yeah. Very good. Constitutional.
LibertyNewsDaily.com for you to check it out. But it says police who misuse tasers might soon find that they are no longer protected by, quote, qualified immunity, warns a new ruling from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth District, or Fourth Circuit. The case in question involved a mentally ill man that was clinging to a pole to avoid to be taken into custody, and they tased that sucker. And, well, it didn't go so well. The man later died as a result of the incident, Kurt. And so that ruling is a latest of several in which courts have ruled that deploying a taser against an uncooperative but non-threatening suspect constitutes excessive force. Now, I don't know how I feel about this, Kurt, because there's a balance. I don't disagree that when there's not a threat that you shouldn't use lethal force. I agree with that. However, a taser is already an effort not to be lethal. And, you know, I'm not really sure that I'm comfortable with using tasers in as many situations as I've seen them. For example, if somebody's on the floor handcuffed, it's not time to tase them, okay? At the same time, you know what, if this guy won't let go of this pole and he needs to be arrested at some point, you know, what do you do? I'm not so sure that the death or the lethal intent was there is the problem. And so, I don't know, I'm not willing to throw the cops under the bus like a lot of people are all the time, Kurt. They want to act like the cops are always bad. But I'm not really so sure it's that cut and dry. Many times there's two sides to the story. And I bring it up because it's a critical point to understand. You can't just run around and hate the cops and think the cops are always wrong. It isn't true. So I don't know what to think about it exactly, except to say that we need to be very careful when we go too one-sided on a story. Now, all the cop haters out there are going to run around going, yeah! But what you got to understand is a taser is already an effort to not be lethal. Now, I'm not saying that gives you a license to run around and just tase everybody. We see these videos of people being tased when they're handcuffed or tased when they're begging on the ground to stop. Okay, it's time to stop. I get it. But there's also times, well, I just wish they would have tased Lavoie Finicum because he'd be alive today is the point.
Yeah. Good point.
So
those three bullets in the back were, you know, a little
more lethal.
Beyond tasing, yeah.
All right. Anyway, I found that interesting. Last story before the end of the hour, I think we're going to get, Kurt.
Uh-huh.
I guess they say there's a drug-dealing police chief. And that dude got busted. He's a drug-dealing, abusive police chief, and he went to prison.
Ooh.
In Alabama, Kurt.
Alabama drug-dealing police chief went to prison.
Roger that, sir. Now, I would recommend police chiefs not to deal drugs, first of all. Now, this is like Tallahassee, former police chief.
What if they need to make extra money, Sam? I mean, you know, you got all that side jobs, you know, and they do have the connections a lot of times. I mean, you know, it's just,
41 months.
I agree with you.
For civil rights violations. Kurt, he stole 16 pounds of dope, sold it to a drug dealer. He stole it from the evidence locker, man.
How in the world would he ever get that?
What?
You know, I guess he'd have the key, though.
In the evidence locker, Kurt. And he was, like, in charge of making sure the evidence had integrity to it, that there was no breaches. Now, I don't know if that guy was running around with an unconstitutional taser.
That's right. Good point.
But it's kind of a weird story, nevertheless. Now, the next story is just as weird.
Yeah.
This one says this. Police sued for selling illegally confiscated car.
Illegally confiscated.
Doing right, illegally.
So you got your legal confiscations of cars, and then you got your illegal ones.
Heck yeah. Dateline Grand Junction, Colorado. Resident Sasha Trujillo lost her car, man. I guess she had a traffic stop.
Welcome to
America. Despite the fact that the charges against her were dropped, the vehicle was never returned.
What a shock, Sam. I mean, you know, this.
Now,
what country are you talking about?
It was a Jaguar, Kurt, was the vehicle.
Oh, well, there you go. See, that's her problem. If she was driving some little junker kind of thing, then, you know, the police really wouldn't want it that much, Sam.
Well, what happened is the towing company took the car. They were allowed to sell it, and they didn't have a chance to get the car back, even though they had to drop all the charges against her and such. So there you go. That's what you call an illegally confiscated car, Kurt.
Oh,
when the charges are all dropped and everything, and there's no charge, but yet your car's gone. Now, a similar situation, not quite as extreme, happened to former Sheriff Richard Mack, too, Kurt.
Yeah.
They impounded his car. Remember all that?
Yes, I do.
It was a long story that related to his son that wasn't Richard's fault, but nevertheless, they were belligerent about it. And this is the problem that we have. If we want to build trust, you got to stop that stuff, cops. Don't be selling drugs. Don't be thieving cars.
No, none of
well,
that.
Well, then the cops got in a fight, too, Kurt.
Ooh.
This is a different group of cops that got in this fight. But I guess what happened is two overgrown adolescent males got into an argument at a restaurant over their comparative athletic abilities, you see. Now, the argument escalated into a, well, they say a fist fight near a homicide when one of them drew a gun. Now, it's a little, you know.
Yeah. A little exciting.
But cops intervened to prevent blood from being shed, Kurt.
What did they do?
Now, here's the problem. No arrests were made. You want to know why?
These were all policemen?
Yeah, the two guys barroom brawling were cops. Can't be arresting anybody when that goes down, bro.
No, because you get special privileges.
Yeah. They were police officers themselves, and so they, you know, broke it up and said, hey, mellow out there, gentlemen. But, of course, no, you know, real repercussions. They were in Buckhead, Georgia, Kurt.
Mm.
And they wanted to know which officer could run faster than
the
other
one. Did you say Buckhead?
Yeah.
So they were bucking heads in Buckhead?
They sure were.
Oh, boy, they were, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess they caught the R. Thomas Restaurant in Buckhead. I bet they called each other about Buckhead, too. Hey, Buckhead, knock it off. I'm faster than you are. They probably did that. Anyway, what a weird bunch of stuff. I won't even tell you the last cop story. It's a little bit worse.
Worse.
All right. Kind of crazy stuff. All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. A lot of hard-hitting news. We got societal troubles, folks. What we need to do is turn people to God. People need to repent. People need to live good, honest, moral, self-governing lives based on the governing values Benjamin Franklin talks about. They need to turn to their God for guidance of the Ten Commandments, huh? This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com.